Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What is up? Welcome in to Tide Talk Live, our college football playoff reaction show. Stacey Blackwood joined, as always, by my good buddy Jack Thomas to talk about the playoff committee and how they come about their selections and just our thoughts and opinions on the on how they picked the four best teams. And I think they did get it right, Jake. I think this is they did the right thing. They put the four best teams in, and we're going to dive into all that. If you're watching right now, please do like, share, and subscribe. Jump in the chat as well and let us know your thoughts and opinion on the committee and your thoughts on how they rank the final four teams. So look forward to hearing what everybody has to say about that. Jake, how you doing on this beautiful Sunday?
Man, I'm doing great, Stacey. And I didn't realize – well, maybe I should have realized that so many people were going to get butthurt over this decision. But here we are, and I'm glad the butt hurt because I'm living the dream right now. You know.
Yeah, I think we're all Nick Saban and that little half grin he's been given the last couple hours since Alabama. It was announced that Alabama was going to indeed be in the college football playoff. And look, we've talked about it all throughout the season. We've talked about it, you know, last night on our instant reaction show following the SEC championship game. The college football committee is tasked with one order, and that is to put the four best teams in the college football playoff. It's not the four most deserving. In fact, there's not one set of guidelines that are written that explains deserving. That is not a part of the equation. Right. And look, it's about the four best teams. I think they got it right, Jake. I mean, it's hard to argue with Michigan and Wisconsin. I mean, Washington being undefeated conference champions, Texas, you know what they've accomplished this season, going 12-1, winning the Big 12. They do have that big road win against Alabama in Tuscaloosa early in the season. And then, of course, Alabama, Jake, 12-1, 9-0 total in the SEC, and a big win over Georgia yesterday in the SEC championship game to kind of put an end to the Georgia run where they had won 29 games in a row, back-to-back national champs. And, you know, they would have been considered the – you know, favorites heading into this playoff had Alabama not pulled off the upset yesterday afternoon. So, look, the committee got it right. Does that mean it's fair? No, but life's not fair. Look, I hate it. I really do. I hate it for Florida State. It sucks that it had to, their season had to end that way. You know, but they're not the same team without Jordan Travis as their starting quarterback, and I think that was the big factor in this decision to put Alabama above them.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And, you know, Florida State has had an incredible season. And I know their coach was talking about how their defense was really stout, especially against a in Louisville game last night, the ACC championship game. But the fact of the matter is, this team offensively is different without, you know, Jordan Travis. And a lot of people was talking about, well, they beat two SEC teams. Well, two of those is against, you know, one of them is against LSU, who, I mean, it's the first game of the season. They're still probably trying to figure everything out offensively and defensively as well. So, you know, I really just look at Alabama in week two against Texas. Alabama's a totally different team now. LSU ended up being a really good offensive team that had troubles on defense. But that second win is against Florida. And with their backup quarterback, who only threw like 124 yards in that game, and Florida's 5-7. So, you know, you feasted on a bottom tier SEC team at the moment, and then one who's in the middle of the pack, who Alabama beat by 14. So, I mean, they've had an incredible season. Yes, they did win the ACC championship, but that win against Georgia, Alabama's got trumps anything that the ACC would, you know, whoever won that game, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, Florida State can talk about their win over LSU. That's like Alabama's, because that's their best win of the season.
Right.
That's like Alabama's maybe third best win of the year. Yeah. Georgia, obviously, number one. I would say the win over Ole Miss was a better win, considering mm-hmm. how these two teams, those two teams finished out the season, and then probably LSU. So, mm-hmm. look, I mean, like I said, I hate it for FSU. I really do. I hate it for their players. I hate it for their fans. I hate it for that coaching staff. Mm-hmm. But the committee's job is not to put the most deserving.
Right.
And I've said it time and time again. I think for some reason we have separated the terms deserving and best. I yeah. think they mean the same thing. To me, the best teams are the most deserving teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody can look at you with a straight face or pass a lie detector test and not say that Alabama is not one of the four best teams in the country.
Yeah.
And that Alabama would not be a sizable favorite over Florida State without Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
Florida State struggled to score against Louisville. Louisville last week lost to Kentucky, who lost five games this year.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll just look. If Jordan Travis was healthy, there's an argument to be made that Florida State should be in. But without Jordan Travis, they're not the same team, just like Alabama wouldn't be the same team without Jalen Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it was obvious that Texas was not the same team without Quinn Ewers. They've struggled right. to win those games. Just like Washington would not be the same team without Michael Penix Jr. Just mm-hmm. like Michigan would not be the same team without J.J. McCarthy. So, look, if any of the other top four teams were missing their starting quarterback, the same principle would have applied to them. Is it fair? Life's not fair, man. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you're going to go through life thinking everything's going to be fair to you, then you got a rude awakening coming on in your lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love the comment, Dolmite. He said Michigan's reaction to Bama getting in, that was hilarious, because, I mean, you just hear the groan throughout the entire little, I guess it was like the little meeting room there that they were at. And I really think Michigan wanted that easy way into to the national championship game against Florida State, but now they're going to have to fight for it.
Boy, and I feel bad for Florida State from this perspective. Not only did they get left out of the playoff, but they got to play Georgia, who yeah. just come off a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the line is in that game early on, but I'm probably going to take Georgia.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia big on that game for sure.
But, Jack, so you have any complaints about the Final Four as far even the order, or do you think it's pretty much what the committee did exactly what they needed to do?
Yeah, I think the Final Four is correct. The rankings is correct. Michigan number one. Washington, I'm fine with number two as well. Texas, Alabama. Yeah, I'm with you, Stacey. I think the committee got this right. And you know, next season, Florida State's going to be in because of the 12-team playoffs. But for the final time and the 4-team playoff, they got this one right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Jake, I think Alabama or Michigan is like a 1 to 2.5 point favorite mm-hmm. early on in that game. You know, obviously we're Bama guys, so we think Alabama's going to win. So, are you surprised at the fact that Michigan is the early favorite in that game?
Yeah, you know, because they're the number one seed, and you pretty much figure a number one seed would have the advantage, and you know, and the money line starting out. But I would not be surprised if that gets moved a little bit. It may be being even draw, you know, when game time comes in a couple of weeks. So, but our Alabama may be the 1.5 point, 2.5 point favorite at the end when the game starts. So we'll see how that goes. But I think it's a good matchup. You know, in all honesty, I'm ready to watch Alabama, but that Washington, you know, Texas game really intrigues me as well. So I'm going to have my eye on both of these games for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm a little bit shocked that Michigan's the favorite. Look, Alabama has the most impressive win out of anybody this season. Right. And look, I know Michigan's undefeated and they won the Big Ten and whatnot, but their strength of schedule is not great. I mean, it's okay, but I think out of all the playoff teams, Alabama has the best strength of schedule outside of Texas. I think Texas is fourth and Alabama's fifth. Mm-hmm. And I think that was also a key factor in weighing the option between Alabama and Florida State. Alabama had played the fifth toughest schedule. Florida State played the 55th toughest schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the toughest team that Florida State played all year was LSU
mm-hmm.
in a neutral site to open the season. So,
yeah.
Been a wild couple of weeks, like Rick and Bonnie says, the last 2 weekends have been wild. You know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was looking pretty bleak for Alabama to make it to the college football playoff. But here we sit on Selection Sunday, Jake, and they're in. And they have a chance to compete for another national championship as long as they take care of Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, absolutely. Caitlin said the underdog is always a favorite. The Big Ten offense meets an SEC defense is my favorite. Yeah, that's
and I don't know if people caught this or not, but on the ESPN broadcast when they were kind of just briefly talking about the Alabama Michigan game, Joey Galloway threw in a line: "Is there even a player remotely close to Jalen Milroe in the Big Ten?" Milroe is going to be a different dude for these guys to try to slow down and look. Milroe needs this time off to kind of settle down and regroup and refocus. And man, I'm just excited about that matchup because of what, you know, Michigan's been a really good defense all season long, but they have not seen an offense with this type of playmakers that Alabama's going to present. And then, like you mentioned, that Washington Texas game, mm-hmm. that is going to be, I think that's going to be one of the best games all season long. I think it's going to be a back and forth contest. I think both teams are a little better defensively than what most people think. So mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be quite as high scoring as what I think a lot of people are going to, you know, talk about all, you know, leading up to the game here. And I mean, it's still almost a month away, but
right.
I do think that Washington Texas game is going to be a fantastic matchup on New Year's night.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. That got me really intrigued. Like I said earlier, and I agree with you. It's probably going to be a back-and-forth game. You know, it's all setting up, depending on how that game goes and how, of course, the Alabama-Michigan game goes. But we could look at a national championship repeat, or you know, from Alabama and Texas, what we had in week two. So, you know, I feel like that's, as Bama fans, that's what we want, to get another crack at them because this team's a totally different team than that week two team against Texas. So, you know, it's going to be fun to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think that would be, you know, what a fitting way for Alabama if they were to be able to beat Michigan and Texas would be able to beat Washington, for those two teams to meet up. What a fitting way for Alabama to kind of end their season, because everybody wrote them off after that loss to Texas. And then the next week they go and just kind of lay an egg against South Florida and only win that game 17-3 or something like mm-hmm. that. So,
yeah.
What a fitting way for Alabama to have an opportunity to complete the cycle of kind of everybody writing them off to hoisting that national championship trophy. So it'd be a storybook, Jay, considering all they've kind of went through this season with all, you know, like they said, let a naysayer know, and they've kind of lived that out. They have really kind of taken hold of that, and that's kind of been their banner this year.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, I want people to remember, I think after the USF game, Alabama was ranked like 12th, you know, because they had dropped them down. We was out of the top 10 in the rankings. Of course, I know the AP really don't matter. It's really the BCS when it gets to that point is what really matters.
You mean the CFP?
The CFP, yeah. What should be BCS? Anyway, but yeah, so Alabama was out of the top 10 at one point in the season, and now here they are. you know, with a chance to win a national championship. That just shows you the guts, the mentality, and the perseverance of this team. You know, it's incredible how they just continue to claw and fight and improve. And here they are. They're fighting for a national championship, and it's awesome to see.
Yeah, it's hard not to kind of fall in love with this version of the Alabama Crimson Tide because of how they've kind of responded after the early season struggles. Rick and Bonnie say, remember the ACC delayed the 12-team playoff. Yeah, their athletic director was part of that, you know, alliance that formed, and it prevented the playoff from moving to a 12-team playoff this season. So, Florida State, if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at your commissioner. So,
ain't that funny?
Yeah.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts there in the live chat. We'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions on the Final Four and how the committee done, and do you think they got it right? And if you disagree with the committee, by all means, let us know that as well. We'd love to have your thoughts and opinions as well. But look, and we've talked about this a lot, Jake, and like I said at the onset, the committee is tasked with one job, is to put the four best teams in. And, you know, if that means you leave out a team that you feel is deserving, then you just got to live with that. I mean, it's sad. It really is that Florida State's not going to get to compete. But, Jake, Alabama, if Milroe had gotten hurt yesterday and was going to out for the remainder of the season, I would be saying right now, Alabama does not need to be in.
No.
Because they're not going to beat Michigan or Washington or Texas without Jalen Milroe.
Right.
Just like Florida State would not beat Michigan, Washington, Texas, or Alabama, or Georgia, Ohio State, or any of those teams, Oregon, without Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
I mean, it took all they had to beat Louisville. It took all they had to beat Florida. I mean, it's not that they just play close games. It's the fact that their offense is just bad without Jordan Travis.
Yeah, you know, it has nothing to do with how they played as a team this year. They're really good. They're a really great team. It's just, you know, one player, I really don't define a team, but when that one player is your best player, it changes the whole mindset and the whole mentality and the way you play moving forward and how good you are offensively or defensively if that player is on the defense side of the ball, because it's a totally different thing. But quarterback is the most important position on the field, and if he's injured, then it just changes the whole dynamic on the offensive side of the ball. And you see that with this Florida State team right now. You know, they've struggled in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, by all means, you know, I hate it for them. But like you said, life ain't fair.
Travis B., let's all buy Corey a stone elephant statue and put it on his front porch. That way when he comes out, he'll see it. That'd be great.
I love it taking
a jab at our friend Corey Burton, of course a Georgia Bulldog and host of Believe in the Dogs. You know, just to touch on that game yesterday, Jake, I after reflection, and I've went back and watched half of the game again, the truth is Alabama did not play that great, especially offensively, for four quarters. They were good in spurts. But overall, Jake, the offense really struggled to put a consistent plays together. And it's not that, and I just got to be honest, it's just that Milroe was a little off yesterday. He was off on his deep ball. He struggled to hit the intermediate routes early in the game. He took unnecessary sacks. He just struggled to play and take what the defense was giving him early in that game. But then, to Milroe's credit, he made the clutch plays down the stretch to get Alabama the win. And I can't say enough about this Alabama defense too, Jake. I mean, I thought overall for four quarters, Jake, they were rock solid against this high-flying Georgia offense, who's put up points against everybody this season. Carson Beck has, passed for a ton of yards this year, and Alabama really limited what they were able to do offensively because they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We talked a lot in our post-game reaction show yesterday, but we'll talk a little bit about here now if nobody hadn't had a chance to watch it yet. But, you know, I may be in a minority here, but I really feel like the score doesn't indicate how the game was actually played on the field, because Alabama, honestly, outside that first series, Georgia has success moving the ball at times, but they could not consistently get a drive together. And like you said, the Alabama defense just dug in when they needed to. And then finally the offense, when it needed to and when it had to, finally found a spark with Jalen Milroe, Isaiah Bond. When you're in a situation like that, you want your playmakers to step up. Our playmakers stepped up when the moment was needed, and you see what the outcome was. Alabama won that game.
Yeah, no doubt. Of course, we are wishing Kool-Aid a speedy recovery, and shout out to Trey Amos for the way he come in and played once Kool-Aid went out with his concussion. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin brought up Danny Cannell's epic rant, and I'm going to try my best to play this here in just a second. I'm going to try to share my screen so we can all enjoy this for just a second here on our live stream. I don't know if y'all can see that or not, but
there we go.
I'm
fisting. It's all a sham. Gosh.
I'm fisting to play it, so maybe we can hear it.
It's a dark day in New York City. A darker day in college football, because what we saw transpire the last 24 hours, really the last week leading into this debate, has been disgusting. It really has. But now the secret's out, because I've been trying to tell you for 10 years this playoff is a complete sham. It's not a true playoff. It's an invitational. It's a beauty contest where the participants are determined by the power players in the sport, the conferences with the most power, and the voices, the biggest platforms. It's never been determined on the field, and that's gross. Say I'm devastated, it's an understatement for what happened to Florida State. But I'll be fine. I got a national championship ring. I got to play for one. But for those players who are absolutely gutted right now, who bought into the lie that if they won every game on their schedule, they would have the opportunity to play for a national championship, I can't imagine what they're going through. And I hope they rally around it. I hope they go and smoke Georgia. But either way, I can't imagine the emotions they're going through because they bought into this lie that every game counts. Who's in? There's a legit debate between who should be the four teams in the playoff. It's not a playoff. It's an invitational, and it's gross. I'd like to think it's going to change. Powerful conferences,
yeah.
And you're still going to have the 12 teams determined by the voices in the TV studios and the boardrooms rather than on the football field where it should be determined. And that's wrong. And I worry about the fans of our sport who see right through the facade. Please don't go away. Hopefully it gets better before long, but don't lose your passion. I know it's hard. I know it's challenging. I know Florida State fans are going through it right now. But keep rooting for your teams, and one day we'll be able to get a legit national title. Until then, I don't even know what to tell you. It's depressing. It's disgusting. But, man, remember the players, what they're going through. Keep supporting them, and we'll see what happens. If Florida State does beat Georgia, I wouldn't be surprised if they claim a national championship, because they should.
God.
Remember, Georgia is one of the best teams in the country.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, that sucks strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience.
Hmm.
Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air wick.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Oh, Danny.
Like, I just, when I listen to that, I can't help but laugh, Jake. I mean, right. Look, he's all up in his feelings right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's obviously a Florida State guy. He played there. And so I understand that he loves his program and he wants what's best for his program. But good grief, he sounded like one of those crazy people who believe every conspiracy known to man. That's what he sounded like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he not realize that Boo Kerrigan is a part of the conference that Florida State is in?
Yeah. He is.
I can't imagine being a grown man who is a well-known college football analyst recording that video and thinking that he has some type of clout, that it's just like Caitlin says, it was a complete meltdown for Danny Cannell. I mean, that it's almost, if it wasn't Danny Cannell, it'd be sad to see, because he sounded so incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
He really did. It's like he don't even understand what the parameters are for getting into the playoff.
Right.
So I feel bad for Florida State. I don't feel bad for Danny Cannell.
Yeah, right. I don't feel bad for Danny Cannell either. But I don't know if we got any Florida State fans watching. Hopefully do. Hope we got every football fan out there watching, you know. But the thing about it is, with a straight face at this point in time, can a Florida State fan, if you want to be honest, I know you want to pull for your team, but can you honestly say that you can be one of the 4 teams that's listed right there without Jordan Travis? And do you really think you're going to beat Georgia? The answer is
no.
So why should they be in the playoff?
It's the same reason why we talked last year why TCU shouldn't be in.
Right.
Yep. Because of exactly what happened in the national championship game.
They got boat raced.
They got boat raced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another guy who was all up in his feelings and could not make a logical statement was Booger McFarland. My gosh, he let his emotions get to him. Yeah, it was pitiful, and kudos to Reese Davis and Joey Galloway for consistently putting him in his place on how off base he was with the arguments he was trying to make.
You're right. Old Booger was letting them boogers fly this afternoon with all that snot he was doing. God, he was so upset. APV on David Pollock. He's got some planning. David Pollock wanted Georgia to get in over Alabama. I was like, how can you say that Georgia is going to get in over Alabama when they just beat you?
I have no problem with people being a homer. I'm a homer, but I'm also realistic. I mean,
yeah.
David Pollock, and it serves him right, Jake. Everything went the opposite of what Pollock said in that game. I don't know if y'all remember this or not, but he made a video saying that Georgia had undoubtedly the best coach in this game, talking about Kirby Smart, who, by the way, is now 1-5 against Nick Saban. But sure, he's better than Nick Saban.
Right.
But he said he's a better coach because Georgia's more disciplined and they don't turn the football over. Well, first of all, he was wrong on those situations. Mm-hmm. Georgia had committed more turnovers this year than Alabama had, and Alabama had forced more turnovers than what Georgia had forced this season. What happens yesterday in that game? Georgia commits more penalties, and Georgia turns the football over, and Alabama doesn't. So, you know, I mean, it just proves that he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And I hate that, because he's smarter than that. But when people allow their emotions and they allow their allegiance to whatever team they are to fully dictate their opinions on situations, instead of using actual and factual evidence to support your thoughts and your opinions, then you come out looking like a fool. And that's what Danny Cannell looks like. And that's what David Pollock looks like. And that's what Booger McFarland looked like.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I'm just here for all the people crying. It's so fun to see, because what are they going to say if we run the tail, win the national championship?
Oh,
they're going to put an asterisk by it.
Oh yeah. It's been years later. Now they want to put one by the 2021 because it was during COVID. Like, that's just something I've seen pop up recently on Twitter. I'm like,
yeah,
what's wrong with you people?
I mean,
hate that much. I mean, like, for real.
Yeah. I mean, that Alabama played an all SEC schedule that year.
I mean, good grief.
The toughest conference in college football, and went undefeated. And I think the closest game was made by like two touchdowns.
Well, Ole Miss was a little bit closer than that.
Yeah, might have been 10 on, but still pretty much boat race everybody we played. I mean, how you want us to put an asterisk by it because it was COVID year? I mean,
yeah, Everyday American says Saban, Steele, and Reese outcoached Georgia. It was clear our team also executed better than Georgia. We were strong on both the defensive line and the offensive line. Great team win. Our backers played awesome too. No doubt about it. Agree 100% every day. Cindy Thomas, Jake's mom, by the way, says, my question is, could Michigan, Washington, or Texas beat Alabama? Could they?
Could beat Georgia.
I mean, beat Georgia.
Yeah.
Could they? Yes. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I think that Georgia's probably better than all those teams, but I can't say definitively that they are. But I can say definitively that Alabama's better than Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, they proved that yesterday.
They proved that yesterday.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It's going back to the game yesterday, going back to Everyday Americans, his little comment there. I feel like we're in an exception, Stacey, but a lot of Alabama fans especially, I think you guys owe our offensive line an apology for the way y'all talked about them beginning the season. You know, especially Caden Proctor and some of the guys like that. Caden Proctor's put in the work, guys. I don't think he's allowed a sack in the last three games. And the offensive line has gotten a ton better since the beginning of the year, which we have said, Stacey, that under Saban, it takes a little while to get going, but when it does, it's one of the best in the nation, and they're starting to prove that right now.
Yeah, and I think we talked – I think it was after the Ole Miss game. I think we led in with our show following that win over Ole Miss was the Alabama coaches and the Alabama fans needed to do one thing with this team, and it was the same thing. Yeah. They needed to be patient.
Be patient.
This team is really young, and they had to progress, and they had to improve, and they done that, Jake. Credit to Jalen Milroe. Credit to that offensive line. Credit to the defense. Those guys just got better and better and better. And when the chips were down and they had to make plays, regardless of which side of the football it was on, whether it was the offense needing to get points or run out the clock, or if it was the defense needing to get a key stop, they delivered. And that's what championship teams do.
Yeah, absolutely. And the defensive line, we harped on Freddie Roach a lot this year and for the years past on how the offensive line has been pretty much inconsistent. They showed up this year. So all them boys, all them big eaters, boy, they was moving the pocket around a good bit this year. So glad to see the defensive line start playing up to their potential as well.
Yeah, Everyday American says Caden should be offensive freshman of the year. Caleb Downs should win the freshman defensive player of the year. Downs played lights out this game, running full speed downhill in the run game. Yeah, I thought Downs was really, really good against Georgia, and Caden Proctor played well too.
Man, Caleb Downs, like, they whenever on some replays, you know, they had the bat view of like they was looking at the bats of Georgia's offense when the play was going. I mean, Caleb Downs can read a play just instinctively, just like that, and he sees that it's a run. He's hitting that hole, that gap that he needs to be in. And I mean, he's made a couple of big plays like that. I mean, he is so quick to judge when it's a pass or a run. And when it's a run, boy, he's getting downhill pretty quick.
He's a very instinctive player, Jake. Mm-hmm. He understands the game of football. It comes natural to him. And he's as good a defensive back as Alabama's had under Nick Saban.
Absolutely. a lot of people think that he's probably going to be the best defensive back we've had under Saban, and I may second that when he gets done.
See, I was worried about our center yesterday. The snaps kept getting lower and lower. I'm like, not today, don't you? And yeah. I'll say this. I actually saw the snaps were not good, but he did a pretty good job blocking yesterday.
He did.
Seth did a pretty good job blocking. I agree. Our offensive line apology. I railroaded them on Twitter, and they deserve the recognition. National champions say Roydell ran strong. Yes, he did. And I pointed to that in the pregame show about how I thought Roydell would be very impactful in this game. And I thought he ran hard. He ran well. He gets that late touchdown to kind of put the game out of reach for Georgia. So, just a really strong effort from Roydell and Jam Miller, too, who made some big plays for the Alabama offense as well.
Jam Miller and, out of the backfield on pass plays is definitely something we need to exploit in the playoffs, because that was just a perfectly called play by Tommy Reese.
Let's see here. Getting lambasted on social media defending that Bama should be in the top four. I mean, I just want to ask the simple question to everybody who says Alabama shouldn't be in the top four. Could you pass a lie detector test and say they're not one of the four best teams? And if you can look with me with a straight face and confidently say, yeah, they're not, then okay.
You know, the Booger McFarland, we just talked about him a while ago, but one of his big deals was, I don't care what you say, they got beat by Texas in week two. And then Joey and Reese, I think it's mainly Joey Galloway, was like, so you're saying that a team can improve week to week and get better throughout the season and make up for that one loss pretty much. When Booger went back and was talking about, Texas and all that, and I'm like, they lost to Oklahoma in the middle of the season as well, just a few weeks after that. So, yeah. I mean,
why is that not being talked about? I mean,
exactly.
Like, and I think Texas deserves to be in, but nobody brings up the Oklahoma loss.
Right. Oklahoma's lost what, three games since?
I think two.
Yeah. But still, they have a win against Texas. So why aren't they in over Texas?
Head to head matters, but it's not the only deciding factor.
No. It's not.
No one else beat UGA besides Bama. Yeah, I think we talked about that, Jake, leading up to that game. That Alabama's the only team that could challenge Georgia.
Yeah, we match up with Georgia very well because both sides, they do the same exact thing. They run nearly the identical defenses and everything because it's Saban and the tutelage under Saban Kirby. So,
no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Anybody else got anything else to chime in before we?
Yeah. Oklahoma, Texas discussion is very quiet. That's what I want to know. Why is not just, that? Yeah.
It was never even mentioned. It didn't happen or something.
Right. And then Kansas beat Oklahoma, which has like four losses or something.
Look, I always go back to everything needs to be discussed in context. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people remember this or not. Sure, Oklahoma beat Texas, but Texas had two red zone turnovers that killed them in that game. Mm-hmm. And if they do not have them turnovers, they probably beat Oklahoma and they're undefeated. So look, sure, they did lose. But in context, it's not – they didn't exactly get outplayed by Oklahoma.
Right.
So I just think everything deserves to be discussed within context. Just like, a couple of years ago in the national championship game against Georgia, it's important to point out that Alabama was without – arguably the best two receivers in college football that year.
Right.
And John Metchie and Jamison Williams. And Jamison Williams goes out in the first quarter and he already had 80 yards in the game. So context is everything. That's not taking anything away from the team that was able to win the game, but it is part of the reason.
Right. And you talking about the Texas-Oklahoma matchup where Texas had two red zone turnovers. I mean, if we want to go that route, Alabama had a lead in the fourth quarter against Texas, had two touchdowns taken off the board because of a penalty. So, I mean, we can look at it like that. If you want to go that route, we're going to do it as well because it's just a fact of how the game went.
And that's why context matters. Right. I'm telling you, I say it all the time. It matters. Context matters.
Mm-hmm.
Right. FSU is mad about not getting in. They better worry about facing a pissed off UGA
mm-hmm.
out for revenge. I think we will need Texas and Alabama. In the national. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Just early looking ahead. I think Alabama beats Michigan. I think Texas beats Washington. But, you know, yep. there's still a lot of time to talk about that between now and then.
Stacey, real quick, I just want to get your thoughts on we talked about the Orange Bowl, but the other New Year's Six Bowls. We've got Oregon versus Liberty, Penn State versus Ole Miss, and Ohio State versus Missouri. Honestly, the only one I can say I'm really jumping up and down, ready to, you know, want to watch would be like Cotton Bowl, Ohio State versus Missouri. But to me, I think Ole Miss rolls Penn State. Penn State cannot muster much offense at all here lately. And I know Liberty's good, but against Oregon, I just don't see how they match up. So that could be a blowout, honestly.
Well, and a lot's going to depend on guys who decide to play or not to play. And
right.
So, you know, we'll have to think about that. But I think Oregon does beat Liberty.
Yeah.
I think, like you mentioned, Ole Miss is going to be able to score too much on Penn State.
Yeah,
and that Missouri Ohio State game is going to be a lot of fun. I think it could go a lot like the Georgia Missouri game went,
right?
Where Missouri is right there in it in the fourth quarter, and anything can happen. So I think that right now is a pick'em game, honestly.
Yeah, that one really intrigues me. So I kind of wish
Missouri and Ole Miss swap Big Ten opponents in there. I wish it was Ohio State versus Ole Miss,
right.
And Penn State versus Missouri, but. Yeah. Both those games are going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's I'm pretty impressed with how the bowl shaped up. You know, I'm ready to watch some more football.
Where's Auburn going? They going to Birmingham?
Let's see.
Has that even been announced yet?
I don't know if it's been announced yet. Let me look here real quick. Let's see. Auburn. Give me just a second, guys. This is Win Play Show.
Yes, I'm just going to read some chats. Jeff Stapleton says Michigan won't be able to go toe-to-toe with Bama. Yeah, I just think that Alabama's got too many athletes for Michigan to keep up with for four quarters.
Right.
In fact, it could go a lot like that, the Alabama-Michigan Verbo game on New Year's Day a couple years ago.
So Auburn is going to the Music City Bowl to take on Maryland.
Really?
Yeah.
Talia is about to light them up.
Yeah, I believe so.
See, that's an intriguing matchup because mm-hmm. Auburn's going to have to score to win that game.
Yeah.
In the mid to high 20s, maybe even the low 30s. I'm not sure they can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you think the chatter in Auburn would be if they finish with a losing record in Hugh Freeze's first year?
I mean – that's a good question.
I mean, they're all excited right now because they've got Perry Thompson and Cam Coleman, you know, committed to them. But
and a lot of talk.
I mean,
smoke
I'm still
about.
Trying to figure out. I mean, they got good receivers now coming.
Who's going
to throw to them?
I mean, yeah, I just that's a good question though. I think they're like, okay, the first year's a bop, you know, a pass. Mm-hmm. Let him get his players in, but I mean, I think we've talked about Stacey. Hugh Freeze is going to be good for them. But is he going to surpass what Gus has done for them? And I just don't see it.
He's Gus Malzahn 2.0.
Right, exactly. I mean,
who recruits? He, the results are going to be Gus Malzahn like, but he just recruits better.
Right. Yeah. So
we'll be here in about 5 or 6 years, and they'll be looking for another coach.
Yeah, that just turn around. You know, all the time. So I wonder what his buyout is because I'm sure they didn't really give him a big one because I'm sure they didn't have much money left.
Yeah, you know, they're still paying Gus.
Yeah, Gus and is Chizik still on the payroll?
I think they're done with Chizik, so I think they still got Gus and Harsin on the line.
Yeah. So, but I mean Harsin, I think when he made the Birmingham Bowl his first year. And got beat, and then they started immediately trying to find something to get rid of him. So, I mean, this is the whole thing all over again, it seems like. And if he does not have results next year, there's going to be a lot of talk down there, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, because fans are not patient, Jake. I mean, it's you got to put up or shut up. I mean, they don't put up with nothing.
Yeah, that's right. It says Jeff Stapleton. Yeah, what Prairie coach, not Harbaugh. You remember he sent Bo in to get a touchdown, 26 left on the clock, no mercy. Huh. Was Harbaugh coaching? Was he in Michigan that has been there that long?
No, I think Hoke was their head coach.
I was going to say, I think that was Brady Hoke.
I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not saying, but I just feel like Brady Hoke was the coach that game.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm trying to remember when we played them on New Year's Day 2020, you know, when Mac was taking over for Tua,
mm-hmm.
when Tua was hurt with a hip injury. You know, we played Michigan on New Year's Day and beat them in the Verbo Bowl.
That's right.
But I don't remember how that game ended. I know Alabama won pretty decisively, but I don't remember how the game itself ended. But I'm pretty sure that the time Alabama played Michigan before that was when Brady Hoke was still the head coach.
Yeah, I think so.
That's been 10 years ago though.
Good Lord, that is wild.
I mean that or longer.
Yeah, that was year before last we played Kansas State last year. But okay. Bo wasn't on that team.
Bo hadn't been on the team since like 2018.
Yeah.
Or 29. Yeah. I mean, so maybe Najee. It might have been Najee. I bet it was Najee. He's thinking of Najee Harris. That's what it was. I do remember Najee scoring late in that game. Yeah. Yes. You are correct, Jeff, but it was Najee Harris and not Bo Scarborough.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, Travis, you said what about Ohio State versus Missouri? We did talk about that. So you know, I think that's really going to be a good matchup. And
hey, by the way, did y'all catch Eli Drinkwitz on the show? And he was getting ready to go, and Drinkwitz said, "Hold on, I'm getting a call from Connor Stallions."
That is so good. Oh man, I mean Reese, you know, been over belly laughing.
Yeah, he was belly laughing on that one.
That was great. I heard that just passing coming in here to do the show, and I was like, oh my gosh, that was great. So yeah, he said, you're right, I got Najee jersey. That's right. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a good game. I think Alabama's first play from scrimmage was a bomb to Jerry Jeudy in that game.
Yeah. That's when I think we kind of realized, okay, we're going to be good hands with Mac Jones next
season. Yeah, that was kind of the Mac Jones coming out party against Michigan.
Yeah.
And what that game, I think, is a lot like what this game will be like as far as Michigan's good at the line of scrimmage. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to playing in space, for whatever reason, they don't have the same type of dudes that teams from the SEC have. That's why they've struggled to beat Alabama. That's why they've struggled to beat Georgia.
Mm-hmm. And they lost to Texas or TCU last year, you know, in the playoffs, who got boat raced by Georgia the next week. So, I mean, that's, I don't know. Trina says, yeah, Reese lost it. She also said Music City Bowl is going to be fun to watch. Yeah. So, say we don't like Harbaugh. I do know that. Who does like Harbaugh? I mean,
Michigan fans, and that's it.
That's it. I mean,
and I'll tell you, he's got slimy snake oil salesman written all over him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the whole world knows that he, at the very least, allowed cheating to happen within his program. At the very least, he allowed it to take place. And then he gets up there and has the nerve to act like he's some kind of underdog or everybody's writing him off. I mean, that you know what type of sleazeball you have to be to be able to have that much lack of self-awareness.
Right. Then he, when they was interviewing him this morning, he said, and I mean, yes, give glory to God and all that, but I was like, come on, dude, as scum as you are, I don't really think you believe that. I'm sorry. That's not very Christian to me.
You could tell it was so he rehearsed it. That was so rehearsed.
Yep, it was. But I just, you know, I mean, he was suspended the first three games of the year as well for violations in the offseason. So, I mean, it's piling up. And I knew the Big Ten was not going to do anything but maybe give him I was actually just expecting a slap on the wrist and a warning. They did suspend him for three games. But, I mean, I'm sorry. Honestly, I don't think Michigan should be in it for all the crap they've done, honestly.
Yep, no doubt. All right, guys, y'all got anything else to add before we wrap up the show? Been a lot of fun reacting to the college football playoff. And, you know, once again, I just want to say that I couldn't be more proud of this Alabama football team and what they've accomplished this season, going through what they went through in that first month of the season, you know, from Jalen Milroe being benched to, you know, everybody writing this team off, writing Saban off, saying the dynasty's over, saying he's past his time, to here they are once again having the opportunity to compete for a national championship after defeating the Georgia Bulldogs, who were back-to-back national champs. So just super proud of this team. Even if it doesn't work out in the playoff, I'm proud of Alabama. I'm proud to be a fan of the Tide. And like I mentioned last night on our reaction show, the demise of the Alabama dynasty under Nick Saban was grossly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. You can never count out Nick Saban. I mean, he is the GOAT for a reason. And anybody who, you know, who thinks Alabama's out of it with him on the sideline, you're just sorely mistaken, because we've proven it and he's proven it time and time again.
Yep. Tamika Nicholson says Alabama will win the national championship. And mm-hmm. Trina says, thanks for all you do, guys. Appreciate it. Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And before we wrap it up, I just want to say thank you to everybody who tuned in today. Thank you to anybody who tunes in, you know, in the future. We do ask that you subscribe to the channel, like this video, you know, share our channel on Facebook with all the different Alabama Facebook groups there on Facebook. Been a lot of fun to do this. We want to continue to kind of build our show here on YouTube and our platform. We do have some exciting news that we'll probably share next week or in the coming weeks for the podcast listeners of the show, because we still have a ton of people who listen to us in podcast form. So there's something exciting from that point of view coming up as well. So excited to announce that here in a couple weeks. But just guys, thank you so much. We have so much fun doing this show. We're just a couple, you know, country boys who love Alabama football and love college football in general, and just want to talk about the game with each other and just share our thoughts and opinions with you guys. And we love to hear your feedback. We love to hear what you guys have to say, whether it's in a live chat, whether it's in the comment section, whether it's, you know, interacting with us on social media, whatever it is, we just want to say thank you to all you guys. And we could not appreciate you more than what we do. And we just want to thank you so much for all your support.
Yeah, thank you all. And Lila Gray just got on and said, hey, boys, don't you just love seeing the Tide rise again? Alabama's going to destroy Michigan. I hope we get the rematch with Texas for the Natty. We'll find out.
We'll find out real soon, guys.
Yeah. So thank you all for you know, being on today. Really, really fun. And we'll be back very soon, I'm sure.
Yep.
And we'll let you guys know when we do something. So,
all right, guys. Guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you real soon. But until then, roll tide.
Roll tide.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.